Chapter 20, Sorting It Out. Reinstadt hung Kylie's coat in a closet in the front hall before leading her into a room with massive floor-to-ceiling windows that appeared to be from an Architectural Digest photo shoot. "Wow," she said, drawn to the sweeping view of the Boston Common, the shimmering gold dome of the State House, and Beacon Hill with its gaslights. Behind it was the slick black strip of the Charles River, with the twinkling lights of Kendall Square on the other side. Then she turned around and took in the rest of the open living area. "Oh, double wow," she said, but the word that flashed through Kylie's mind was tasteful. Its open kitchen had the latest appliances and modern walnut cabinetry. There was a black marble breakfast bar on one end, and on the other was a large living area with a beige, modular couch with earth-toned woven decorator pillows that picked up colors from the Persian rug. An enormous brass-trimmed glass coffee table sat in front of the couch, holding neat stacks of large books arranged into perfect pyramids. Kylie wondered if he'd read them or if a decorator had purchased them for their size and placed them there for show. Nothing was out of place. Behind the sofa and in front of one of the windows was a blonde oak table where she could imagine him having a candlelit dinner with Emily Wickland, his girlfriend, if in fact they did that kind of thing. Perhaps the elegant look was Emily's doing. Kylie intended to find out more about that. She would have to remember to run a report on her. "I hate to tear you away, but you have a view in your room, too. Would you like to see your accommodations? Allow me to show you," Bill said, waving her on from where she still stood at the window. He led her down a hallway decorated with a row of photos of FDR, JFK, and Teddy Roosevelt, with matching black frames, to the guest room, with coffee-colored walls and white furniture that included a modern four-poster bed with a blue and brown patchwork print spread. "You have an awesome place," she said. He shrugged. "Yeah, I suppose I do, but I wish that I could spend more time here to enjoy it. In the morning, you'll be able to see the harbor from your window," he noted before walking through and switching on the light in the bathroom. There were two crackled glass raised sinks sitting on a white marble vanity with antique wooden legs. The wall-sized, gilt-framed mirror was lit with gold and white sconces on either side. "I hope that this is adequate, mademoiselle," he said, slightly bowing as he handed her pure white fluffy towels from the bathroom linen cupboard. Kylie noted that the sizable glass-enclosed shower was stocked with high-end shampoo and body wash. There were even scented candles arranged between the double sinks with a pack of matches, handy between them. She couldn't wait to try to light them and then dive into the shower. "It's more than adequate. It's wonderful. I can't thank you enough. Do you need anything else? Food? Something to drink?" "No, I'm fine. I think I'll just take a shower and dive into some reports until I can't keep my eyes open." "Okay, I'll leave you to it. By the way, I need to be at the office early tomorrow, so just make yourself at home. Have some breakfast, and then I think you should call Stuart and take your findings over to the bureau." "Good plan," she said, watching his eyes, which she found remarkably bright and intelligent, as well as a gorgeous shade of a Mediterranean blue. There was a hint of humor in them, too, like he had some private joke. Kylie realized how much she wanted in on it. He was out of her league, and she felt a pang of loss for what she could never have. Being with him was like visiting a club that she would never be able to join. "Should I take my stuff with me, then?" "If you want, but you should give it another day or so in the hope that this can get wrapped up. Then you can go back to your apartment when we know that you'll be safe. I'll tell the concierge to let you in when you get back if you want to stay." "No problem." Kylie would stay there forever if she could. Kylie looked at the ceiling for a moment, not wanting to appear as excited as she felt. "Yeah, sure, that's awesome, and I can't thank you enough." "It's the least I can do," he said. "Stay in touch." After Reinstadt said goodnight and closed the door, Kylie headed into the bathroom. She planned first to light the candles, step one to relaxation. As she struck the match, she noticed that the matchbook was from Francine's, a beach dive that she had seen near Fox's house on Plum Island. She shrugged it off as a coincidence. Lots of people go to Plum Island. She sat on the bed and texted Stuart. Staying in Reinstadt's guest room. We'll come in tomorrow morning with news. She peeled off her clothes and showered, scrubbing off the nastiness of her day with a lavender-scented soap and shampoo. She then slipped on a clean T-shirt and crawled into bed with her laptop, anxious to see what OMG had generated on Lily Harriman and Steve Hahn. First, she read Lily's email to Michael. I'm sure that you are aware that you have violated our agreement. You need to resolve our contempt case and give me my 50% of your shares of the Visiozyme stock that you sold without telling me. This is a huge issue since I was supposed to be notified of the sale of any stock. It appeared that Lily refused even to have a phone conversation, only responding with hard-nosed notes and letters from her lawyer to see what else she might be able to extract from Michael. He replied, saying he only owed her money from stock sales up to the time of their separation. But it appeared that Lily wasn't accepting that. In her last email to him, she demanded interest, finally telling Michael that if he persisted in resisting her, she would be forced to take more dramatic measures than court, which took too long and wasn't productive anyway. Aha! Suddenly Kylie sat up in attention. She read faster. She found hundreds of emails with Steve Hahn, proving that when she wanted, Lily could be exceptionally communicative. Many were explicit and shocking, but what made every hair on Kylie's forearms rise was finding the encrypted Lily folder on her hard drive. Misha would have to open it to be certain, but Kylie was pretty sure it contained the plan for the virus release. Steve Hahn's other emails were even more interesting. Kylie quickly scrolled through his many back-and-forth notes with Jerry Fox, planning meetings, which she had evidently overlooked before, thinking they were just Visiozyme business. Now she noticed that Simon had been copied on a couple of them. The most damning email to Fox had mentioned using their new little one to permanently free Lily from Michael Harriman. It had been dated 3 weeks ago. When? Fox had asked. We're telling Harriman that it's a Black Friday release, he had answered. Did Harriman know about the virus? If he did, why hadn't he gone to Homeland Security? It didn't make sense. Kylie took another look at his hard drive, and again, she could not find the Lily folder. She then searched Steve Hahn's, and there was the Lily folder sitting on a top corner on his desktop. She found that Steve was living at Lily's home in Newton. A Google Maps photo revealed a graceful English Tudor house, situated on a long block with similarly styled homes. They all had identical shrubbery and curved walkways to the driveways, but Lily's house stood out, with a huge 3D relief of a dragon carved on her front door. Kylie felt satisfied finding so much information and couldn't wait to present the resolved case to the FBI. Her impulse was to run out to tell Bill, but she was afraid to intrude on him any more than she already had. She thought about calling Misha, but it could all wait until morning. Her heavy eyelids begged for sleep, but she willed them open long enough to do one more search on Emily Wickland. She would let OMG do its thing and check it out tomorrow. Unable to fight sleep any longer, Kylie closed her laptop and the lights, curled up in a heavy quilt and silky cotton sheets, and fell asleep with a smile on her face.